Certainly thankful for the prayer that Brother Darrell offered on our behalf, and I pray for you. I ask that you'd pray for me that the word of the Lord would have free course, and more than anything, that God's word would be a benefit to each and every one of us, but most of all, that it bring glory and honor to his name. This morning, the thoughts that are on my mind revert back to what I spoke on a couple of weeks ago out of Proverbs chapter 3. Really, the thought that's on my mind is wisdom, and you know there's a lot to be said in the book of Proverbs concerning wisdom. We find in the book of Proverbs a contrast between wisdom and foolishness. We see it in many places in Proverbs. Now, the Bible speaks of wisdom that is from the earth, from men, and it doesn't speak very highly of it. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The world is full of so-called man's wisdom, earthly wisdom. You know, some people believe that wisdom is knowledge. They believe that if they're educated enough, if they learn enough, that they'll finally become wise. But Paul addresses those folks very much so in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he said they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that doesn't mean they don't just come to the knowledge of the truth concerning salvation by grace. There's many things in God's word that they never come to the knowledge of the truth of, even though they are extremely and highly educated. We see that going on in the world today. People get this degree, and on top of that, they get another degree, and pretty soon they've got three or four degrees, but they seem to never understand the truth about many things in this life. You know, some of the men that were less educated had a better understanding of wisdom, I believe, than men that have been highly educated. Now, we know that the book of Proverbs, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon were all written by Solomon, David's son. We know that he was the son that was born to David and Bathsheba after they'd gotten married, I guess you'd say, after the adulterous son had already passed away. But the Lord loved Solomon, and he blessed him. Solomon built the temple. And when he went to the Lord in prayer, his prayer pleased the Lord. He didn't pray for riches. He didn't pray for material goods on this earth. He didn't pray for anything but judgment and discernment that he might rule over the children of Israel as king. And God was so pleased with him, save the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself said there's never been a man before Solomon, or will there ever be another man after Solomon that will have the wisdom of Solomon. So we know that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. We know that God inspired it because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's divinely inspired. But yet Solomon, having all this wisdom, went out into the world and set out many devices. We know that in the book of Ecclesiastes, that book, really the theme of that book is what is the meaning of life. And to put it in short order, apart from God, it's nothing but vanity. I mean, the world is a great place to live in. God has blessed us in many ways, but living below the sun, apart from God, is not something that is profitable. It's not healthy. And I believe if we study God's word, we will certainly understand these things. A couple of weeks ago when I was preaching on the first Sunday, we preached out of the first six verses. We concluded with, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Unfortunately, most of us in this life, I'm not sure we have the faith to just follow the Lord and trust him with everything we have and not know of anything that lies ahead. Some people call that blind faith, but that's called truly putting your trust in the Lord. You know, none of us know what circumstances lie ahead. Only the Lord knows. We want to know what lies ahead. That way we can detour to the right or the left, or we can do whatsoever we want to, but we really don't know. The Lord knoweth, but we don't. We have ideas. Sometimes we spend all our life worrying about what lies ahead. It's 6 months down the road or a year down the road, but yet we really don't know if that'll come to pass. The Lord knoweth. We need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. This is a promise given to one that truly trusts the Lord. One that truly believes in God, that God will guide his steps, that he puts everything at God's feet. And you know it says in all thy ways. It talks about your family. It talks about your church. It talks about your job. It talks about your children. It doesn't really matter. It covers it all. In all things, acknowledge God. That means God should be first and foremost, regardless of what we're doing in our lives. You know, when we begin to deal with this subject of wisdom, we're going to get down to the point of what's affectionate in our hearts. What's your affections? You know, we're told in Colossians that we're to set our affections on things above, things in heaven, not on things in the earth. But we have a problem with that sometimes. There are many rivals in our life, what we enjoy doing. Our family sometimes. I mean, there are many, many things that rival the affections of our heart. God should be number one in our heart. Never should there be anything that's ahead of the in your heart of the Lord. He should be your number one affection. But as we continue to read this, we get down into verse 7, and it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." How do we be not wise in our own eyes? It's talking about earthly wisdom. It's talking about that wisdom that the Lord said in 1 Corinthians that he would destroy. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 18, it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise." In other words, if you're filled with earthly wisdom, philosophical thinking, and God has no place in your life, you're no better off than the fool that has no understanding. It says that you may become a fool, that you become a fool that you may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's foolishness. I don't care how educated these people are. We hear things going on today that's just outlandish. You know that it's not according to thus saith the Lord. We have the only absolute truth that there is in the entire world in this book called the Bible. All things should be measured by God's truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Furthermore, when he went to pray that high priestly prayer, our Lord prayed for every one of us. That includes you and I sitting here today. He prayed, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." In other words, the truth of God sits in these 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture, the Bible. And they were put there for our benefit, for our learning. All things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. So, you know, we need to develop the idea of spending more time in God's Word. I mean, if you want a better life, and I believe the Lord teaches us that. Now, back over in Proverbs 22, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." That doesn't mean he'll never stumble. He'll never have a problem. But when we train someone right, they will come back to that. And I believe Jesus Christ and our God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, I believe the book of the Bible is to train us, to teach us. There's a training that goes on. It'll help us in our life, and we'll get to that in a minute. But he goes on and says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he take the wise in their own craftiness." You know, many people in the world think they're really wise, and they've really got it down. But I tell you, if it's not according to thus saith the Lord, they're really fools. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Those that are wise in their own minds, those that are filled with earthly wisdom, therefore let no man glory in men. That's a great teaching there. It said back over in Proverbs 3 and 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Be not wise in thine own eyes. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the opposite of it. Notice what it says in the next part of that verse. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. How do we fear the Lord? I mean, we've heard that all our life. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean to be scared and to be hiding from him? No, it doesn't. It means to reverence his holy name. It means to embrace his truth. It means to lift him up above all things in this life, to put him as the preeminence of your life, first and foremost. You know, when we go back and look at this in the first four verses that I preached on a few weeks ago, it said, "My son, forget not thy law." We're told that we're not to forget the law, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Almighty God. And it says, "Let thine heart keep my commandments." In other words, embrace his commandments and strive as much as you can in your heart to do what God commands us to do. You know, he says, forsake not the assembling yourselves, as the manner of some is. We're to assemble together in public worship. That's a commandment of God, whether we obey it or not. It's a commandment of God. He says, for a length of days and a long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know anybody that wouldn't want to live a long life that's filled with peace? And I mean the peace of God that ruleth a man's heart, not the peace that this world gives you. Jesus said, I give you my peace, not as the world gives you peace in John 14 and 27. But real peace, that when the struggles come and the storms blow up in your face, and they will, and the challenges that you meet head on, whether it be medical problems or loss of loved ones or whatever there be, the list goes on and on and on, that you can live in peace because your hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you understand, as Abraham did, that this is not our home, that heaven is our home, that we're pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. You know, most of us in this congregation are not what I call real young. Some of us are older than others, but most of us have lived long enough to know that time is swiftly passing by. There's a song we sing that says that. It really is. Swiftly passing by, and soon we'll depart this place. And our hope that dwells within us will be to live in heaven with those who've went on before us. What a joy and what a hope we have that anchors our soul. He says, forget not my law, for it will add unto thee long life. You know, some people say, well, I don't want to live a long life. I've seen enough of this trouble. Well, I tell you, if you can live it in God's peace and not the peace that the world gives you, if your peace of God is reigning in your heart, you'll be able to continue through life. You know, it doesn't mean you'll never mourn. It doesn't mean you'll like what's going on, but you'll have something somebody else doesn't have. He goes on and says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. You know, sometimes I believe we live in a time now that people are not as merciful to one another as we ought to be. There's more hatred going on than we've seen. But you know, we serve a God that was full of compassion. We ought to always be compassionate. We ought to always be merciful because God was merciful unto us who are great sinners. You know, when that publican stood there and smote upon his breast and said, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's where we all stand. He wasn't like the Pharisee who stood and began to tell God of all his great accomplishments. We hadn't accomplished anything, brothers and sisters. We're here by God's mercy and by God's mercy alone. What a day it'll be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. I'm telling you, there's a hope in you. There's a hope in me that one day we're going to live in a better place where the struggles that we face now and that we may face down the road will not be any longer. But our hope's in God's word. He says, forget not my law. I tell you what, we can forget it so easy. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. I mean, to fear God, to not forget his word, is something that will be very healthy under your spirit and under your soul. I want to read something, if you'll allow me to. Sister Suzanne reads a devotional every day. And after I spoke on this subject a few weeks ago, she was reading this. It's a page long, and read it to me. And even though it's not a Primitive Baptist writer, it comes from the book of Proverbs. I tell you, there's so much truth in this. It began to make me think. It says, the godly life is not lived passively. You know, there's only one thing that's passive in our life, and that's salvation by grace. God was active, and we were passive. We didn't do nothing to obtain it. We didn't do nothing to deserve it. We certainly can't buy it or purchase it. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. We were passive in that, and God was active. It is not random, and it is not a life of wandering. What it means is to live a godly life is to have purpose in your life, to have direction in your life, to embrace God's truth. There's a meaningful purpose in living a godly life and being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who wait for God's word to change them will only find it so doing when they actually feed themselves with it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, when we come to the household of faith, when we sit down in our hall, in our living rooms to read, I'm going to ask you right now, can you possibly give God your undivided attention? You know, we have problems with that in life. Can you give God your undivided attention? Can we give God our undivided attention when we humble ourselves that we're told in 2 Chronicles to pray? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Not before. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive your sins and heal your land. We need a lot of sins forgiven, and a lot of land. This land needs a healing. We need to think about these things. Those who expect the sermons they hear and the words they read to make them godly will be entirely frustrated unless they are diligent in meditating on the truth and applying it to their lives. Now, this is something she read on January the 15th, not several years ago. She's got a book and she reads something every day out of it. But it really struck me. It comes from the fourth chapter of Proverbs. But that is so true. And it's something I've spoke upon. Have we owned God's truth? Is it really a part of our, do we meditate upon it? You know, Psalms begins with that very experience of the psalmist. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, who standeth not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what it means to meditate upon God's word? It means to take what you heard preached, what you read. It doesn't mean to read the Bible day and night. It means to take what you've heard preached or what you've read and to roll it over in your mind, to think about it, to let it lodge in your heart. It says simply sitting in a pew week after week will do nothing radical in a believer's life. Like I said, this is not my writing. I'm just reading it, and you can take it with a grain of salt or however you see it. Wisdom is not gained by passive absorption. In other words, just by coming for an hour on Sunday morning and just sitting here, we're not going to be filled with the wisdom that we need. Are we using it, applying it? It must be consumed and savored. It must be the focal point of our thinking. Do we make God's word the focal point of our thinking? You know, I don't understand why we don't. And I don't all the time myself. You know, the Bible tells us how to raise our children. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It gives us a step-by-step way to raise our children. We see so many households broken today and so many people divorced today. And you know, it's not because we tried God's way and God's way wasn't sufficient. It's because most of us didn't pay any attention to God's way. We didn't adhere to his truth, you know. We just decided to do it our own way, and whether it was in line with God or not. God's word is instruction for you and I. We're to train our little children, but in the sight of Almighty God, we're just as much a child to him as our own children are to us. Train up a child in the way he should go. We're instructed, and there's no better place for young folks or old folks to start than in the book of Proverbs. I tell you, out of Proverbs, it deals with many, many, if not nearly all, the issues of life that we are confronted with. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Those who hear words of wisdom and do not apply them are like the receivers of the seed in Jesus' parable of the four soils. I'm going to tell you, that is absolutely right. You know, some people believe that only the good ground in the parable of the sower is a child of God. But I'm telling you right now, without a doubt in my mind, every one of those grounds are children of God. But there's a vast difference. Notice what he says here that in this writing. It says, they hear the truth, they understand it, they even agree with it, but it has no benefit for them. You know, on the good ground, it brought forth 100, it brought forth 60, and it brought forth 30-fold. It was fruitful, wasn't it? Well, what about the other three grounds? You know, the word was choked out by weeds. You know, I've preached on this so many times because I spent my entire life farming that it is so applicable to me. You don't go out and plant a crop and never check on it again, never water it. Applying this wisdom to our life is beneficial. That good ground, they cultivated the word of God. That's what it meant. They were fertilized in their lives by the word of God. It had a place residing in their hearts. That's why it brought forth fruit. You know, a farmer doesn't plant something and drive off and 6 months later come back and expect that crop to deliver much fruit. That is so true. They even agree with it, but it has no benefit for them. It isn't real faith. James tells us something too. You know, we were given the measure of faith, inward faith, when we were born again of the Spirit of God. But there's an outward faith that grows by the hearing of the gospel and the reading of his word and being true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In James chapter 1, it says in verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What did Paul say back over in 1 Corinthians? He said, let no man deceive himself. The person who just hears the word and never applies it to his life is deceiving himself. He's not growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of a man he was. I tell you, I believe that among God's children, there's a great problem with applying God's word. We have the greatest book ever written or ever will be written in our hands. The question is, are we using the word of God to our benefit? Are we helping it train our children? Are we helping it teach us how to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ, to treat those who are not members of the church, to treat our neighbors? We're to love our neighbors, you know, as ourselves. Now, that's a tall order and a tall choice, but God said, God wouldn't have told us to do that if it was impossible to do. He says, love thy enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you. Tall order. But God wouldn't have put it in his word in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we wasn't capable of doing some of those things. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. We can do a lot more than we think we can do with the help of Almighty God. You're right, on your own, there's many things you can't do and never will be able to do. He goes on and says, something more is needed. Diligence, for example, an action. God and his truth are to be treasured more than any other affection of our heart. I spoke of that a minute. You know, our heart is filled with affections. You know, our heart is looking for places to make us happy. I mean, that list is long. But the Bible tells us that happy is the man who has found wisdom. Notice what it says. Happy is that man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And we'll continue with that in just a minute. The wisdom of Almighty God is priceless. It goes on to tell you that it's more valuable than silver or gold or fine rubies. Matter of fact, in the Word of God, it'll tell you that there is no amount of money that's equal to God's wisdom. We go on and finish reading this. It says, where do your affections lie? Do you hear the truth and then turn your heart to other things? In other words, do we come into the house of God, do we hear his truth, and then go back out in the world and fail to apply his truth to our lives and use his wisdom to further the kingdom of God? You know, we were called to be lights that shine in a dark place. Let your light so shine that others seeing your good works might glorify our Father which art in heaven. It's not to turn your light on as you enter into the building on Sunday morning and click it off when you go out in the world. God called upon his children to let their light shine every day of life, every day, that others seeing it might glorify not the man that is doing the good works, but the Father which is in heaven, our God, our Heavenly Father. He says, we will not retain what we've heard or read unless we dwell on it for a while, turning it over in our minds and locking it within our hearts. I believe that. That's what meditation's all about. That man who was blessed in Psalm 1, his delight was in the law of the Lord, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his law and in his gospel did he meditate day and night. You know, only you know how much you think of God's word and the teachings that you know on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Does it have an effect on the way you deal with others? Do you smile at others because you know that Jesus smiled at you with great compassion and mercy? Do you speak to others the way that Jesus spoke to others? I mean, there's a lot to dwell upon and meditate upon when we leave the house of the Lord. If we're going to be that light that God has called upon us to be, then we need not to forget his word, but let thine heart keep it. You notice it said over there, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding before God and man. Don't you want to have favor before God? Who else would you want to find favor before in this world other than Almighty God? It's important. These was written for our learning and for our benefit. It's healthy to our soul. You know, we In America, we've been blessed to eat about anything we want, anytime we want it. But do you know that our soul and spirit needs fed on just as regular a basis as our natural bodies? But it's a whole lot easier to feed our natural bodies than it is to feed our spiritual bodies, our soul and spirit. I think we're very spiritually nourished, get tongue-tied, in this country. But we can only do that if we meditate on God's Word. If we lock it into our heart, we will not change and we will not grow by passive hearing. We must set our affections on God's wisdom and act on it and beat away the philosophical and material rivals. We talked about the affections of the heart, and that gets right down to where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? Do we ever let anything in this world that we like or desire take more effect or have more affection in us than the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a question only each one of us can answer. I know that I have many times and still do today. You know, Jesus, we're told that Jesus was to have the preeminence in Colossians chapter 1. That means to be first and foremost. The things of this world are blessings to you and I, but when we let those blessings become more important to us than the Lord, then He no longer has the preeminence. They are a rival to the affection that's in our heart. You know, we all like entertainments of some kind. We all like traveling of some kind, most of us. There are many things, but when we allow those things to interfere, become more affectionate in our hearts than the Lord, then we're going in the wrong direction. They become a rival. The promise for doing that is amazing. Life and health, truth and righteousness are powerful. They are the substance of our lives. Now, whether you take that daily devotional that my wife has read and see much truth in that, I don't know. But I believe there's a lot of truth in that. I believe that we can't just become wise or we can't absorb God's wisdom if we are not feeding ourselves with God's Word every day. Be wise in thine own heart, eyes. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord. Respect God. Embrace the Lord. Hold Him up above all things. Reverence His holy name. It means to really revere Him. You know, we're told that He sent redemption in the 111th Psalms in the 9th verse. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. Someone that we ought to pay more gratitude to than anyone else. He should never come before after anything that we have in life, our family, our wives, our spouses, our husbands, our children. The Lord should always be first and the most affectionate thing in our hearts. Don't forget that. Life is short. It's but a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. Now we talk about this wisdom that we need. As we addressed a few Sundays ago, you can get in the first 5 or 6 chapters of Proverbs and it's addressed, my son. Notice what it says when we begin the 4th chapter. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Are we hearing the instruction of our Heavenly Father? Are we attending to His Word? Are we forgetting His law? Are we binding His truth around our neck and writing it up on the tables of our heart? It is health unto us. It is healthy for us. It will add peace and longevity unto our lives. That ought to be something that has real meaning to us. Notice what it says. We'll start back in the 13th verse of chapter 3. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You know, so many people believe that and are searching for happiness all the time. Psalms 144 says, happy is that man, or happy is that people whose God, capital G, is the Lord. You know, but we have people in the world that are seeking happiness. There is temporal happiness. But do you want long-lasting happiness in your life? It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Wisdom and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it all starts. It all starts with God. It doesn't start with our neighbors or our schools. It starts with God. God is the storehouse of all wisdom. God is wisdom personified. That's who the God that we serve is. You know, me and Brother Darrell were talking about some things this morning and how awesome God was and what He done. And we was talking about a lunar eclipse that's to happen tonight. You know, it's a blood moon tonight and how these things all lined up. And You know, if you begin to dwell upon the Lord and meditate upon the Lord, as it says in Psalms 33, you'll stand in awe of Almighty God. I mean, this earth rotating on its axis and never getting out of balance. I mean, it's an awesome thought to think about the God that we serve, that spoke to us and breathed the breath of life into our nostrils when we become living souls. And then he created us a new heart. We become a new creature. He goes on and he says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof of fine gold. You know, most of us love money. We don't want to admit it, but we do. And we seem to never have enough of it in this country. But the Lord says it has no comparison in value to wisdom and understanding. And most people have a hard time understanding that. She is more precious than rubies. That's wisdom, she. It says, in all things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. There is nothing comparable to the wisdom of Almighty God. Did you know that? That is something that we ought to attain to and we ought to seek in our lives daily, because there's nothing in this life. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. What more could a child of God want in this life than a long life and peace? She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. She is stable, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. It's apparent that we can get wisdom from God's word and not retain it. That's why we're not to forget the law of the Lord. That's why we're to meditate upon his word day and night. Like I said, there's a contrast in wisdom and foolishness in the Bible. And I tell you that because the Bible was not written as a means whereby you and I would find eternal life. The Bible was written to those who are born of the Spirit of God and none other. When Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Pretty simple, pretty plain. You can't see it, you will not understand it, and you will not desire it unless you're first born of the Spirit of God. Actions always precede life. You're not going to act unless you have life, spiritual life. When we go over to Proverbs chapter 12, and I believe it's verse 15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Notice what verse 1 says in chapter 1 and verse 5. This is a real definition of an individual, young or old. And I believe that much of Proverbs is directed to young people, but there's a lot of older people that need wisdom, and I'm certainly one of them. I pray for it every day. It says in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. In other words, not just hearing the verbal sounds going in one ear and out the other. It says, a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. What does that man attain to? The man hears. He's interested in hearing from those who have walked those roads and went down those paths and have had the experience that he is now encountering in life. Not only that, we find that wisdom directed to us in God's word. I mean, the issues of life and what you and I face as young people or in the word of God. Notice what he says. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now verse 7 tells us something else. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now some people will tell you that's not children of God. But why is the contrast given to us in the book of Proverbs? Because you and I as God's children can walk in the pathways of the foolish. We really can. We can act like a fool. We can, you know, many times in the Bible, a fool is depicted as a non-elect, as somebody's not a child of God. In Psalms 53, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But the Bible teaches us, as young and old alike, where to trod and where to walk in this life. It says, for they shall be, this is talking about wisdom and instruction, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. That right there is a promise to anybody. young or old alike, but especially to the young. We're all enticed, are we not? Temptation is out there in the world. We've seen our children, and most of us can remember back when we were children and how easily enticed we could have been, especially if we was hanging with the wrong crowd, running around with the wrong people. It's easy to be enticed. You know, our flesh is weak. It really is. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know from experience, I've done a lot of things in my life I shouldn't have done. Easy to be enticed. And probably easier to be enticed when you're young. But oftentimes you find that in the hands of older folks. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing easier. One of the lessons the Bible teaches, and especially this is important to anybody that's young, is following the crowd. I mean, we want to do what everybody else is doing. And, you know, have you ever heard of folks they'll tell you, well, I didn't do anything wrong, but I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, that's not a paying attention to where I've been there, I know. Because I wanted to be part of the crowd. I didn't want to be a stick standing out by itself. You know, that's why that verse in the Bible is so hard. Come out from among them, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. It's hard to be different. But as God's children, if we pay attention to His wisdom, if we mull it in our hearts and roll it in our minds and it locks in there, and we keep studying and reading God's Word every day, when those situations arise in our life, those thoughts will come to your mind. They'll make you aware of what God said and what can happen in those ways. Notice what it says. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. I mean, they want anybody to take up with them. The people are out. And you know, when we think about evil, I want to stop for just a second. In the Bible, the word wicked and evil sounds extremely bad. I mean, I don't like it. I'd hate to say somebody's wicked, but you know, in that prayer it says, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Most of God's people don't believe they're wicked. But do you know that any sin you commit is evil? It's dark? That's what sin is. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He's holy. God has never committed a sin. So from what you consider to be the greatest sin to the smallest sin is still evil. It's wicked in the sight of a thrice holy God. We must understand that. I know it's a hard word for me to say. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth out without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. I'm going to tell you, God can give you the mind and the understanding to deal with the circumstances you're going to face in life, and no one else can. You can go get educated up one side and down the other, but I tell you, this book trumps all of the education you'll ever have. If it doesn't agree with God's Word, then you don't need it. I'm telling you, young people, you don't need it if it doesn't agree and harmonize with God's Word. Find out where I was at there. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that I didn't understand a long time ago, and I know other folks preach it different than I do. I don't believe among the Primitive Baptists. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to usward who believe, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. There are folks in this world who will teach you that repentance is the way to heaven. That ain't what that verse is talking about in any form, fashion at all. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life in John 10, and they shall never perish. God's desire and God's will is not to bring judgment upon His children, the rod of chastisement. Just as it was when you raised your children, it hurts your heart sometimes almost as much as it hurts the child's to have to bring chastisement on them. But if you love them, you won't spare the rod. God is not willing that any of us should perish in this life, fall in the way of destruction. Listen to what he says as we go on here. But you have set at naught all my counsel. You know, we begin to talk about those people who despised wisdom and instruction. You know, there's some people in this world, and old, young and old alike, that I believe are God's children that just despise wisdom and instruction. You know, they follow that old song by Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley. I did it my way, and I'll assure you it was the wrong way. But that's the way that people view things in life sometimes. I'm going to do it my way. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. It says, when your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Do you know that that may be the very judgment God places upon his child is just a lie filled of anguish and distress? You know, over in Matthew chapter 18, what did the Lord tell them about forgiving? If you don't forgive everyone your brother, no matter what he's done, the Lord will turn you over to the tormentors. What is the tormentors? He's not going to send you to hell for there. He's going to let you live a life of misery by attaining to God's word, by taking God's wisdom and placing it in your mind, mulling over it, rolling it over and placing it in our heart, and letting it come to the forefront when you face the circumstances and the challenges of life. We're all going to face them. We're not through facing them. It goes on and says, then shall they call upon me. Always that way with the Lord's people, isn't it? When they finally fell on their face and they went to the end of their way, they cry out for Almighty God. You can read throughout the Old Testament. They did it their way till they finally come to the end of their way. We know in the parable of the prodigal son, of the two sons, when the youngest son that went off and lived with all the ravished living, he finally come to the end of his way. God let him get to the end of his way, and he called back upon his father who was merciful unto him. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all reproof. You know, and we do that by just not paying attention to God's word, not taking him serious, not making this word a part of a life. I told you at the beginning of the year, I don't believe reading God's word and meditating on it means you have to read the entire Bible all year. But I tell you, you ought to take two or three verses or two or three chapters, like in the book of Proverbs, study them. Take the Strong's Dictionary and look at the words and see what meaning they have for your life. They're not just something there for no reason. They're there for the child of God. They're there to train you and instruct you as you go through life. I think about that. It says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. You know, there comes a point in time that as God turned over those who would not forgive, everyone their brother, to the tormentors. And I believe the tormentors is just a life of misery and without peace because they were unwilling to forgive. He says, when we despise his wisdom and despise his instruction long enough, he says, I will just let them eat of their own fruit. He says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. You know, we believe in the Sermon on the Mount in John chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it gives you two gates and two ways. I believe the majority of God's children throughout the ages have went through the wide gate and the broad way that leadeth to destruction. We know that the Bible says there are those who go through the straight gate and the narrow way that leadeth to life. In other words, they're focused upon Jesus Christ. They haven't lost their way. You know, that wide gate, it's broad, and it's where everybody's going. Bound to be the right way, isn't it? If everybody's going through that gate, we ought to go through that gate. It's bound to be the right way. But you know, as you read throughout the Bible, that's not the case. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Put him first in your life. Read his word. When you read his word and you pray and you meditate upon his word, I believe God speaks to you through his word. You know, it says, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, when I read that verse out, it's easy to say, well, that's talking about the way we talk. It does embrace that. But I'll tell you what it does mean when you study it out. Worthless companionships destroy good moral habits. You know, Sister Amy's dad used to say, if you play in the dirt, you're going to get dirty. If you sit around a camp, you're going to smell like the camp. And there's so much truth in that. You know, we study the history of God's Word and the history of the Lord's people, and we seem to learn little from the past. We try to do those things that have failed time and time again. Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it again. And unfortunately, I think that's what we're doing. But I think making God's Word a part of our lives will bring health and peace to our souls and to our minds in a world where everything seems to be out of control and ravaging on the outside. And sometimes it ravages on inside us. We need peace. Forget not thy word. Forget it not. That's the law. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget it not. Peter said, I'll not be negligent, but you always remember of these things, even though you know them and you're established in them. It's a funny thing. The Bible even makes this clear too. We can lose what we have if we don't continue to use it. And unfortunately, if we don't read God's word, we'll, over time, forget what we've learned. It won't be on the forefront of our mind when we face the challenges and the difficulties that are going to bring us this way in life. We're going to have them. The storms are going to come. May God bless us to meditate upon his word. May God bless us to read it. Take a few verses. Take a few chapters and Proverbs, or as I said, another good chapter to read is the book of Jonah. It is four chapters, but I tell you, it says so much about who we are and the things that happen to us in life. Jonah didn't want to do what the Lord wanted him to do, did he? He decided he'd go do what he wanted. And that didn't work out too well for him either. But you know what Jonah done had an effect on a lot of other folks. That's some of the lessons we learned there. But you'll find in Jonah's case, just as it was what I preached when he came to the end of his way, he prayed unto God. It's sad that we've got to be brought to the end of our way so often before we fall upon our knees and we'll say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Before we understand that that's the only hope we have, not in the life to come, but in this life today. May God bless us to study and read his word. May God bless us and may he fill us with his wisdom.